A friendly anima community where the trees bleed, the moon is shattered, and a stone dragon rests overhead while we all pretend it's just a statue. Welcome to Vale. Good evening, listeners new and old. Our listenership seems to have grown since the calamity that was the loss of the communications tower. While some of you may think this is an entirely bad situation due to our inability to communicate over long distances, call for help to authorities, plunge us into a new dark age, and seemingly open the door for the creatures of Grimm to become a lot closer than our closest neighbors. Neighbors close enough to smell our fear. Neighbors so close that you're not sure where their darkness ends and yours begins. Despite these negative connotations to our new way of life, I'd like to think of it as a welcome return to the golden age of community radio. And now, the news. Remaining members of the Atlesian soldiers helping to continue relief efforts have announced a ban of the color red. The ban comes after the night commonly referred to as the Fall of Beacon, where their proprietary Atlesian Knight robot guards all simultaneously changed their blue tone to a red tone and started attacking innocent civilians. The Atlesian soldiers provided the following statement. In an effort to reduce Crimson-related crimes, we are until further notice containing any and all red items into designated areas in Vale for study into why these sudden changes happened. Thank you for your patience in this matter. These areas they refer to are outside of any of the majorly populated areas and are marked with large quarantine zone signs. Please take any and all red-colored items you have, unless they have already come to your homes and taken them by force. More on this story as it develops. And now, the community calendar. The annual Hunter and Huntress Vale Community Volleyball Championship has been canceled due to rain. And also due to the fact that most of the registered participants are dead. Or on vacation. Who can really say in our isolated state? Tuesday, the 3-hour daily ritual of staring vacantly into the middle distance as the existential dread sets in, has been moved from 3:30 in the afternoon to 4:30. 3:30 p.m. is now the property of the Schnee Dust Corporation. Wednesday was a mistake. Let's not kid ourselves. It was never going to work out. Thursday, the charity bake sale will be located at a booth in the town center outside of City Hall, about 3 blocks from what used to be the heart of Beacon Academy. The bake sale will begin promptly at 10 a.m. and will continue through the day until either all of the baked goods have been purchased or when the volunteers are inevitably devoured by the Grimm still running rampant in our city. Whichever comes first. This year, all proceeds will be going to the Center for the Advancement of Human-Grimm Relations, a noble cause, if ever there was one. The Restoration Society will be hosting a Q&A Friday regarding their upcoming proposal to preserve the statue of Ozpin that his current representative, as a professional broadcaster, I'd like to point out that there was a specific note to clear my throat when saying representative, commissioned shortly after his disappearance. Any and all citizens who ask directly about why city funds are going to a statue of a headmaster that may or may not be dead rather than rebuilding our streets, homes, and businesses will be carted away blindfolded in the back of a government transport for mandatory re-education. Saturday, former Huntress Professor Peach will be offering a free all-ages archery class in Emerald Park at 8 a.m. Bows and arrows will be available to rent free of charge. When asked what good the skill of archery could possibly be when the Atlesian soldiers finally decide to wipe us off the map in the inevitable robot uprising, the professor scowled. "I am but a teacher," she said. "Activities like these and the companionship that comes with community have the power to restore people. Humanity needs to come together in this dark time if we are to weather the coming storm." And finally, Sunday. Sunday is Magic Appreciation Day, the day in which we celebrate all things magical. Although, as we all know, magic does not exist and should never be talked about. Magic, that taboo aberration that acts as an affront to the natural world, is not real, and thusly should be put far out of the minds of all of you faithful listeners out there. Stay grounded in the real world and focus on unlocking and honing your semblances instead. This has been your community calendar. The Society of the Full Moon will be hosting a membership drive / mixer on the third Thursday of the month at O'Malley's Bar and Grill. The local chapter of the Society is looking to expand its membership, as currently they have a total of only 3 members, one of which is rumored to be an inanimate scarecrow that some local teens placed in one of the meetings as a prank. Here in the studio today to tell us more about the organization and its upcoming event is the organization's chairperson, Miss Petra Conejito. Am I saying that right, Petra? Thank you for coming down to talk to us today.
Conejito, you did fabulously. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm a big fan of the show.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your group. Can you tell us what exactly drove you to becoming the leader of this organization?
Certainly. As a faunus myself, I'm often asked to clear up misconceptions about what it's like to be one, what it's like having giant rabbin ears in addition to normal human ones, etc., etc. So clearing up misconceptions sort of became a hobby of mine. And what better way to combine my love of correcting people and my love of astronomy than dedicating my life to correcting lunar dogma, as it were? So, the Society of the Full Moon is an organization dedicated to raising awareness and clearing up misinformation about the world we live in. Our main goal is to unveil the truth about the moon that hovers in the sky above this God's forsaken wasteland. Now, scientists will tell you that the moon is being broken apart by our planet's own gravity. These charlatans claim that the satellite above our world is shattered because it falls within what they call the Roche limit of our celestial body. I'm here to dispel this myth. Not only is the moon above us completely intact, but it couldn't possibly be torn apart by the planet's gravity because gravity does not exist. Gravity is a lie perpetuated by big dust designed to keep you all complacent. These so-called scientists, using so-called facts, are on the payroll of these dust lobbyists.
I'm sorry, Petra. Are you suggesting that the moon is one piece because the very concept of gravity is a fabrication?
Yes! It's a giant conspiracy designed to keep us all distracted. While we live in fear of the damage that falling pieces of the moon could do to our planet, big dust uses that fear to attract grim to smaller towns in the way of their mining operations. The towns are wiped out, big dust moves in to rob the land of its resources, and we stand mesmerized by the grand illusion that hangs above our head each day.
So, it is your belief that we're not in danger of asteroids colliding with the surface of our planet because you don't believe in gravity?
Yes, as responsible citizens, it's our duty to ensure that facts don't prevent us from getting to the truth. Don't let the arrogance of the scientific community and their years of study tell you what you know in your heart to be wrong. And if you need any evidence, you need look no further than that of our local huntsmen and huntresses in training. Students can leap into the air with amazing feats of athleticism, often at flying from one chunk of falling debris to the next, attacking the grim at heights that border the stratosphere. How could these students accomplish this if gravity worked at all the way scientists claim it does? Really makes you think.
Then what is it exactly that we are seeing when we look up towards the sky?
I'm glad you asked. It is well known that some people possess a semblance that can create illusions. Is it really so hard to accept that the big dust companies have either hired or kidnapped some of these individuals to create the perpetual illusion of the moon overhead? The moon itself is intact. We are merely seeing the projected image of the moon shattered to pieces.
But all the time? As in, creating this illusion to every person on the planet at all hours of the day and night?
Yes! So that big dust can use fear to attract Grimm to outskirt towns and cities standing in the way of their bottom line. Do I need to go through it again? I honestly don't know how such a simple explanation had eluded the public for so long.
You find that easier to believe than the, theory of the moon simply being too close to our planet? If I may ask, if gravity is a lie, what is it exactly that keeps us on the ground?
Oh, Belle, I get that question all the time. And there's a perfectly logical explanation for that. One that I explain in my new book, The Sky is Full of Lies. You can win a signed copy as one of the many raffle prizes we'll be giving away at O'Malley's next Thursday. I've also been told that the Thursday happy hour menu is a delight. But I have a free signed copy for you, Bill.
Why, thank you, Petra. This is such an unexpected and unsolicited gift, which, as we all know, are the best kind.
You're most welcome. Thanks again for having me. Hope to see you at O'Malley's. In the meantime, keep watching the sky, true believers. One day you'll pierce that grand illusion and see the truth.
Thank you for joining us, Petra. A message from the Vale Department of Health. Attention, humans. Remember to get your flu shots. It's a pretty bad strain this year, and the shot will do absolutely nothing, aside from completely cure you. There is nothing else to be concerned about in regards to this shot. There are no mind control additives or special serum to eradicate anyone who is cured by this. Support a healthy community and sign up to get your flu shot today. Upon second glance, listeners, this message is not in fact from the Vale Department of Health, but the local chapter of the White Fang. Adjust your flu shot plans accordingly. Tuxin's book trade will soon be reopened to the public. After the tragic loss of its former owner, the home for every book under the sun has sadly been closed off to the public as homicide detectives continue their investigation. However, due to certain recent events, the authorities have issued a public statement that the investigation will be put on hold until they figure out the best way to remove the giant stone dragon from the center of the city. Which is to say, it will be on hold indefinitely. With the case closed, a buyer has stepped forth to ensure that the citizens of Vale can enjoy the wonderful works of fiction, non-fiction, and superfiction without ever having to step forth into the dark recesses of our local library. The entrepreneur in question is, of course, the old man who is everywhere. After purchasing the store, the old man who is everywhere sent out a press release saying that to honor the late Tuxin's memory, the name of the store would remain the same. When asked for comment regarding whether or not this decision had anything to do with the cost-saving measures of not having to replace the signs, or how adding the bookshop has added to the vast network of businesses in town owned and run by the old man who is everywhere, he simply said nothing, as he never speaks. No word yet on an official date for the shop's grand reopening, but rest assured that book lovers across Vale will remain vigilant. Update on Beacon Academy. Quiet. Stillness. The stillness of which we will never know and hope to never know personally. A stillness in which will enrapture us all before we turn to dust. Quiet. Listeners, we've been sent a series of missing persons reports across our fair burg. These reports have been placed in between a variety of invoices filled with lists of red items collected by the Atlesian soldiers. In order to get to the bottom of this, I'm going to have to send out one of our intrepid intern reporters. Merlot, head down to the closest quarantine zone and return these invoices right away.
Poppy MacIvers? Carmine Clay? Maisie Mahogany? Bill, have you seen these names? I don't know if this is something
I... Now, Merlot, get a move on. We wouldn't want to be accused of withholding evidence now, would we?
Right, of course not.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
You see them everywhere. The shadows out of the corner of your eyes. No matter where you go. Your apartment complex. The marketplace. The remnants of the communication tower. Even on the relatively peaceful island of Patch, there's no escaping them. Shadow beings in the shape of everyday people. These shadows wander the streets, sit in cafes, and seemingly have conversations with one another as they stand in the background of your life. These silhouettes fill your soul with dread as your mind recoils from the reality of their existence. What are they, you ask yourself, as you stare vacantly into your own reflection, as if the version of you on the other side of the glass could somehow provide an answer? Are they a sinister form of Grimm that have taken a cruel mockery of human shape to toy with humanity? Are they the embodiment of the negativity humans harbor against one another? Could they be beings from a mystical plane beyond our comprehension? Or perhaps they are refugees of the old world, the children of gods that have long since abandoned a remnant beyond salvation. You have no way of knowing. The only thing you do know is the cold chill that runs down your spine when you see them on your way to work, sitting in a cafe. Even more unsettling than the thought of what these shadows might be, what they might want, is the horrifying realization that you are not the only one that recognizes these otherworldly beings. Your fellow citizens see the shadow creatures for the abominations that they are, and yet no one speaks of them. Everyone carries on with the charade, afraid that acknowledging them would shatter the uneasy peace, alter the equilibrium of reality, and ultimately destroy the odd coexistence these beings have established with us. As such, the farce goes on. Shadows in the shape of people continue to haunt the background of your life, no matter how desperately you wish to scream. You wish to beg someone else around you to acknowledge them. You keep silent. A simple walk, food that makes sense, even when your reality does not.
Correction on our update regarding Beacon Academy. Station management requested I clarify that after we die, we do not turn into energized powder with various elemental attributes that can power the machinations of our world. Rather, upon looking into the face of our end, we will feel our existence burn with one final resistance, one bright reminder that our time in Remnant will leave any sort of impression before peace, by infinitesimal peace, returns to the planet we were born from. So, sorry, I guess. Let's take a look at today's traffic, is what I would usually say right now, but that's become rather difficult to just do, what with the fall of the CCT. When there's a global crisis that disrupts all distant communications, your first thought isn't about the loss of accurate travel times or advanced knowledge of road conditions. We all mourned the fall of the system that allows us to keep up to date with the latest weapon combination trends and viral videos of adorable kittens. But there are certainly these other, less devastating drawbacks we must too consider. Nonetheless, I am a radio professional and therefore must press on, despite challenging circumstances. I do have a rather large window near my desk that gives me an excellent view of the street outside the studio, so I shall endeavor to provide an accurate reading of these conditions. For now, it's quiet. Still quiet. Oh, wait, I think I see someone. Station intern. Here she comes, dragging one leg painstakingly slowly behind her as she scrambles off the sidewalk and towards our building. Oh my, is that blood? Listeners, I fear something is very, very wrong with our dear intern. While I make a check on the physical condition of Merlot, I take you now to the weather.
Seen her again.
Why is that?
Because she probably would have buzzed my other one.
What?
understand why she did what she did. I just wish she hadn't. I wish she could have learned to let things go. I guess I should too.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I've just heard was a bit of a wake-up call, and to properly support youth in broadcasting, I am providing Merlot an opportunity to make her report in person. I hope you give her your undying attention.
They tried to confiscate me, Bill. I wasn't supposed to leave there. These quarantine zones weren't built to hold innocuous red objects like heirloom tomatoes and paintings of countless red eyes peering out from the trees of a dimly lit forest. Sure, piles of red cloaks and vases of blood-red roses and stacks of offensively colored shop signs are scattered around the otherwise featureless facility, but their purpose stretches much deeper. Large, friendly signs cover the entrance gate, all with comforting phrases written on them. Quarantine zone. Do not enter if you want to see your family again. Red cannot harm you now. Crimson containment center. We are not here to hurt you. Only the color red. I handed off the invoices, as asked, to a pair of cheerful Elysian soldiers sitting behind the makeshift registration booth. They began to assure me that their files were perfectly in order, and encouraged me to return quickly and report on how organized and successful this operation was. No need to worry about us, they told me cheerfully. We are getting to the bottom of this situation. I am saddened to report that things went downhill rather quickly. A third soldier emerged from the heavily padlocked gates, leading someone I can only describe as a prisoner behind her. Imagine my surprise when I recognized Garnet Zhao, the local activist for the Let Swords Just Be Swords movement, an individual we have interviewed on several important occasions. Of course, this connection meant that she, too, recognized me. She called my name thoughtlessly, the momentary joy of meeting draining quickly to horror as realization dawned. Immediately, the friendly hands that were removing a stack of invoices from my hands were now grasping those very same hands of mine, every trace of friendliness drained from those gloved fingers as I was restrained. Now, I understand my duties as a station intern, and while I take my experience here very seriously, I feel being confined indefinitely within the quarantine zone is slightly outside the bounds of that internship. My duties do, however, include seeking undeniable hard facts and fetching coffee so a certain radio host isn't grumpy. Knowing this, I was eager to remove myself from that place as quickly as possible, as I am of far more use bringing the results of my investigation back to you than staying chained up in a crimson prison. And investigate I did, pressing them to define what constituted as a red object. Once they were engrossed in a debate over whether plum should be considered red in this case, you know, just to be absolutely safe, I slipped free of my constraints and made my escape. They were not willing to let me run off that easily, of course, but the skills I learned during my basic intern training program for eluding the notice of station management made those militarily trained soldiers from Atlas no match for me.
Thank you for your report, Merlot. Luckily, it is time for one of your pre-approved and legally distributed breaks. Take a load off. You've earned it.
Yeah, you think?
There goes a future leader in the world of media, if ever there was one. We've just received a notice from the Elysian soldiers about the events described by intern Merlot. And by received, I mean I'm looking out the window of the studio and seeing a multitude of Elysian soldiers holding up cartoonish signs saying phrases like, oops, and never mind about that whole red band thing, lol, and please don't tell your intern that we're out here, but please tell her that we feel really bad about the way things shook out. Huh. That was a really long but quite legible sign. Blaming a color for all of the problems of your world may seem logical in the moment, but it is pretty irresponsible. A lot of the children of the current generation are burdened by their parents to be named after a color. It has been said that this practice was a demonstration of refusing the oppression of expression for generations to come. Despite being only 80 years removed from a war that these very children have no memory or connection to other than their family's losses, being tied to this tradition can only hurt them. As seen tonight, the very identity of someone based on their name put their life in danger. If it weren't for the basic combat training and evasion training that all of our interns receive, things could have been a lot worse. The families affected by this gross oversight of power, by those insisting on helping us in our time of need now, have a very important choice to make. One, get lost in the shuffle and live your life opening every door with reticence at the idea that it could be the last time you are opening up a door. Live in fear. Or two, don't live by the expectations or labels that previous generations stick to you. Just because your name is Steel doesn't mean you have to live to the specifications those who named you gave by placing those specific letters in that specific order. Create your own classification to fit under. Be the person you feel, not the person you're given. Be your unabashed self. Stay tuned next for this exact broadcast, except one of the words spoken will be changed out for a more invasive one. This is Relatable Fume, signing off as the person I choose to be. Good night, Vale. Good night.
Yeah.
Everybody. This is a group effort. And to all of the people who joined us late or don't follow us on Twitter, hi.
There's someone in everybody. Chat named Jesus Pando that just says confused with three question marks behind it. At some point tonight, I want to scroll through the chat during the show and just talk about some of the really great stuff that came up in there, because y'all are great.
Well, here's the thing, is looking at some of the stuff in chat made me go, oh, that's gonna be a story. That's gonna be a story. Yeah. I've got a street cleaning day that somebody posted that's really, really good.
You guys are hilarious.
Welcome to the show, everybody. That was weird. This is something that we've been planning for 2 months at this point.
About that.
Yeah, about.
When was that after show?
It was the penultimate episode of the season of Ruby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a while ago.
So yeah, about two months now.
Yeah.
It's been some time.
Screaming into the void.
Yeah.
Mark, how do you feel?
Oh, great. There's this thing where when I get anxious, I cough a lot. So that's why the table's littered with and it's one of those things where I'm familiar with. I know that was a thing, but if I relied on the cough drops, that I would probably cough some more. Either way, my voice may have fluctuated a couple of times during the read, but I have been so excited to do this show.
You did marvelously.
So did everybody. This was a group effort, damn it. And this is something that for those of you who don't know, on the penultimate episode, we randomly Night Vale came up and we talked, which is a podcast, a fiction podcast, or is it that that you all should check out on iTunes or on YouTube, and we're trying to emulate that, but in the world of Remnant.
Yeah, Night Vale is basically NPR from the Twilight Zone. It's not quite horror, but it's really super weird and borders on
it. It's Eldritch Radio.
It is.
That's a good way to put
it. But it's all banal. Like, it's all day-to-day life, regular goings-on, and this was just sort of an experiment. And I'm going to be completely honest. This was a lot because we all have jobs, and we love doing the show weekly, but doing something like this took a little bit of extra not sleep.
That's one way to put it.
And here's what's up. If you like this, spread the word, because we're going to be posting just the Welcome to Vale portion on our YouTube channel, we also now have a store. We have a Rooster Team store through TeePublic. We're going to post the link on social media, but the first thing on there is a Welcome to Vale shirt that is just the logo that you've been staring at for the past 35 minutes, on a t-shirt or on coasters or on a bag or on this or that. The first couple of days that something goes up on TeePublic, it's on sale, so you can get a shirt for $14 and it still supports us.
Yeah, they're also having a site-wide sale right now, so...
Even better.
Do the thing.
But that type of stuff is like one of the best ways, other than social media. We really appreciate everybody on social media been tweeting about this, retweeting about this. This is one of the ways where we can maybe... At least I'm the only freelance person here, but at least like maybe.
Oh no, I'm technically freelance too.
So we can maybe take an extra hour off of work. We maybe could take a little bit of a shorter shift so that we can do this on a more regular basis. We did overwrite for this first episode, so we do have a couple of segments that are written and done, and we have ideas for future things. And somebody put something in there that is exactly the thing that I want to do, and we're working on it, and it takes time.
But we're not going to tell you who said it or what it is.
No.
You'll know when you hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Histories, yo.
Everybody here is a history of Night Vale.
Yes.
Tell us about it, starting with you, Katie.
Megan's and mine is conjoined. Mm-hmm. And mine started on Tumblr because at one point my dash just completely blew up with all of this stuff about Night Vale. And I'm like, what on God's green earth is this? It seems to be this weird horror thing, and people are liking this guy with headphones and a third eye, and like, what the hell is going on here? And then I found out what it was because some of my closer friends got into it, so I threw it at Megan, because she's the horror person in the apartment. And I was like, hey, I heard about this thing. You might like it. Whoop. And then, what was it, like a week, 2 weeks later, it was... That you take it, because this goes into you now.
Yeah, the thing is that, like, I had a rather long commute at the time from our apartment to my job. And, like, it was an hour and a half every day, pretty much.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was rough. But I burned my way through a lot of audiobooks, and then I got bored, and so I started listening to podcasts, and I just needed something. My appetite for it was insatiable. Katie suggested that. And it was funny the way you suggested it, like, because you're like, it's not, like, horror's not for me, but, like, maybe let me know what you think. And after listening to a good chunk of it, like, I started really falling in love with it probably around episode four. There was some really good stuff. The Glow Cloud episode was great, but yeah. I definitely remember my initial confusion when I hit the weather for the first time.
But and then the volume cranks up and it's like,
but long story short, I fell in love with it because I do love horror, and NPR for the Twilight Zone sounded like that is absolutely 100% my jam. Not to mention that I'm from a small desert town, so occasionally I'd like hop onto the road coming back home, and I just listen to Night Vale because I'm like, I'm going to the desert. After listening to a good chunk of it, I told Katie, I was like, hey, I know you're not a big horror person, but trust me, this is within your threshold of tolerance.
And then I wound up back into it, and I was into it, and I was enjoying it, and then we hit the bits with Kevin, and I just about lost my damn mind. Like, that's the point where I went from, oh, this is a fun podcast, to, I am in!
Stacey, how about you?
So, pretty similar as far as seeing it first on Tumblr. Mm. Pretty early on, well before they hit their year mark.
Oh, yeah.
And just binging everything that was out there. And then, like, this, and I had a pretty long commute, too, so this was what I listened to in the car. You know, I switched off. God, I'll probably listen to it more times than I'm willing to admit. many of the episodes. But it's great to just kind of get lost, especially on a familiar commute. It is perfect, setting the mood. And the thing about Night Vale that I have always loved is just that it's kind of horrifying. And to us, some of the things that happen are like, I'm sorry, what? But there's also something so comforting about it. Mm-hmm. And so uplifting. So even though there's all this weird stuff going on and, like, you know, end times may be nigh, who knows, in this show. But it's just, you always finish the episodes feeling at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the things that really drew me in.
Yeah. I think mine was Tumblr, too, just because it was a dark time.
Always a dark time.
In terms of Night Vale, my commute was pretty long, and I would listen to it. But it's a sort of a thing where anybody with a significant other can relate. If you listen to something together, you don't listen to it separate. So my wife and I, it would become our Disneyland drive music. Aww. When on our way to Disney, because we used to go a lot more than we do now. But when we did, we would listen to two episodes on the way up, two episodes on the way down. Aww. And we would be caught up really well. There was a period where we didn't go, and I think we're about 2 or 3 years behind. And we wanted to get the book, but we wanted to get the audiobook, but that would take forever. But same thing. There's Oh, and a funny story. When we were on our way to Vegas for a bachelor party for one Robert Shuttleworth, I was telling people about the show. Rod was telling people about the show. Two of the five people in the car had listened to it, and they went, "All right, download some." So on this bro trip, we're driving in the dark.
I am thinking of the people who were in that car, Drew, and that Drew. Show happening.
Dude, we listened to the first 4 or 5 episodes, but in a bro car on a way to a bachelor party weekend in the middle of a desert of sheer darkness. It's one of my absolute favorite, like, friendship experiences, and just, like, I can't listen to the show not driving. I can't. I tried. We tried listening to it just like, whatever, but no, because it helps buy even into even more, where it's like, oh, Night Vale starting. Of course it is, because I'm tuning in. Like a weird, it's just this weird extra, like,
yeah, it's, thing with it's it. Like you're turning on your car radio and you're listening to it.
And
yeah.
It takes you through. It's such an amazing show, and if anybody who was very confused by this hasn't, checked, though we talked about it on when we talked about the idea of doing this, is that these audiences can pretty realistically intersect. Please go back and check out, starting from episode 1. Also, we apologize because there are a lot of episodes, but
you will not be disappointed.
No.
You will not.
Well, and they're all like 25, 30 minutes at the most. It's not like you're sitting down for 110 episodes of Critical Role.
Yeah.
I say, having worked my way through 110 episodes of Critical Role. When you're moving, it goes fast.
but yeah, this was really fun, and we really want to do it again, and we think that there's so much room to play. Another thing that would help us out is if you tell Rooster Teeth about it. Tell your favorite voice actor, tell your favorite writer or animator or something. We're going to have a link that's just the podcast, and we'll put that as our pinned tweet, but we would like to spread the word to the folks at Rooster Teeth and have some fun. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But this is our last Rooster Teeth reviews show of Jesus, how do we fill time?
is our last variety show.
Yeah, this is our last variety show, our last Freedom show, which is why in an effort, because we'll probably be pretty busy for a couple of months, because it's going to be Nomad leading into RVB, leading into Camp, leading into Ruby.
Probably all overlapping at one point or another.
It's going to
be... Because summer of animation.
Yeah, it's going to be after show o'clock for us, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're still determining what format that's going to take, how we're going to, when shows start overlapping, how we're going to start doing that. But it's all going to be on this feed. It's going to be this team of people with a couple of people here or there that might switch in and out. Also, Genlock. That's a very good point.
Thank you, Malachrome.
Yes.
Also, I don't usually do this, but if any of that inspired people to draw anybody or anything,
give us fan art.
put that in the hashtag. But
here, Megan did our first piece. I'll put it on Twitter.
Oh God!
Oh, was that? Yeah, she drew herself. She drew Petra.
It's beautiful.
For those of you who obviously this is the board is not on the camera.
It'll be on Twitter.
It's a little message from Petra.
Princess Ponies is already on it.
Yeah,
you're the best good human.
We love you.
Thank you, dear. But yeah, I kind of tweet vomited last night that this is the first time in a long time where I've been able to be creative and perform. And I want to thank everybody else on this table for allowing me the opportunity to do that. And I thank everybody for their contributions to the show. And hopefully this can be something that we can do at least for a little while longer.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun. And Mark, you are not giving yourself enough credit. Guys, Mark went above and beyond to make this happen. Writing, acting, all the musical choices. Basically, guys, we were able to put this show on because of all of Mark's hard work.
Don't we have applause on the soundboard?
That's fine.
We have applause on the soundboard.
No, do the AfterBuzz TV exclusive. Hit the AfterBuzz TV exclusive, too. Sorry, the auto-tune. Sorry, the auto-tune. I hate that cue and I love it at the same time.
I've never heard that!
Because we never use it!
That's
beautiful.
I don't think you understand how many episodes of Robots in Disguise I would have started with that cue if I knew it existed! Perfect!
We have to go back and do the whole show again.
Go back in time.
Really quickly, Jesus Pando says, Mark deserves a raise. If you want to give me that raise, you can head over to our store, which I just tweeted the link out of, on our ABTV Rooster Team account. Check it out. Help support the show. Help support independent creators. And I want to use this as an opportunity for us to sort of pivot and be able to create a little bit more. Because everybody's familiar with this world in terms of everybody out there. But I was mentioning because of the schedule. Next week, we are going to cover the first episode of Nomad of Nowhere. Did you end up watching it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. Okay. I'm saving it. I'm real excited to sit down with that.
So next week, we're going to be back doing the Nomad of Nowhere after show. Or it'll be more of an after show format. And if we're able to do another episode of Welcome to Vail, that will be on our YouTube page. Just so that we can get it out whenever we want.
That way we don't have to adhere to the studio schedule because it gets packed really quickly. You have to reserve studio space like way in advance. This is a busy place.
And we just got the new season is starting up too. So every night is busy. And that's kind of why I wanted to go weekly so that we could lock down a decent time every week. So you can come back here and venture and say hi to everybody.
Same rooster time, same rooster channel.
Same rooster teeth. So we've got a couple of minutes left. Closing thoughts, future thoughts while you look through that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna wander through chat.
Stacey, final thoughts, where you want this to go, what are you excited for Nomad? Anything. The floor is yours.
I'm still excited about everything for Nomad because I haven't experienced it yet. So I was the wrong person to ask about that. I don't know. I'm really excited I got a chance to perform. I don't usually do stuff like that. Mm. So thanks for letting me do that.
Yeah, and that's one thing is the Night Vale is usually like a one man show with a couple of things every couple of episodes, but I didn't want to not include everybody, so I'm happy and we'll figure out new characters. We'll see if Petra keeps having a series of books or whatever.
She was just really excited to have a microphone in front of her, like
something to
talk about no matter what.
I'm with you, Mark. Getting to sit down and write creatively in a because it's there have been a couple of things I've started writing and then I always end up not finishing it. So getting to work with other people to finish a script and then get to perform it was a huge treat. And normally when I do voiceover stuff, I'm alone in my room yelling into a microphone. I never have anybody to play off of. I don't have an audience, which to me is great. So doing this live was both really exciting and really terrifying, and I'm really, really happy with the way it all turned out. Everybody did marvelously, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
We're gonna just going around in a circle and inappropriate comment.
chat, and I'm going to run through a lot of these rapid fire, so, you know, fun. Megan with bunny ears. The moon was also an inside job. It's all a conspiracy. Lizard Faunus run the government.
That, I think, is my favorite.
Lady, I don't know what you're smoking, but I want some. Remnant is flat. Change my mind, which I think is my favorite new ridiculous meme. I hear O'Malley's is a diabolically good time.
I saw that. shot. No, you fool. It's ladies' night.
The bookstore, perfect for buying that new book by Petra. Fake news and propaganda.
Somebody did buy my book. Not much I noticed, which is great.
Shadow people abducted my cousin.
Oh, no! I'm so sorry.
Lies, I know the truth, Bill. You can't hide it. Soylent Dust is people.
To the families of your cousin, we know.
The chat screaming, intern Merlot, no.
Yes, that was great.
We came up with that story, and after the fact, I realized, oh, we made Red versus Blue.
Which somebody commented on. That was so great.
But then also by having it red and Merlot being a red themed name, we made her a red shirt who survived. So there are a couple of things that we're borrowing from Night Vale and we're going to make our own if we continue it. There's something else I was
they call
say.
That an extended fan project.
Extended fan project.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Crap. Just while we're here, I wanted to give a special thank you to. He's not here. Hold on. I'm getting the information. I want to thank. What is his name? Where'd he go?
The lovely human who did the music.
Brendan Horn. Who is a musician? He's an Australian musician who has made countless fan works for Ruby, Red versus Blue. The link was in down below. I will re-add it and I will also tweet it out because he let us use "I Wish You Hadn't," which is a very sad reminder for all of you Red versus Blue fans out there. And I also thought it would be fun to involve the community with that as well. And we want to figure out more ways to involve the community. Oh boy! I can't believe we did it.
We did it!
I can't believe we did it.
Full on Kermit, yay!
Cam Griffin said extended fan project. Isn't that what Red versus Blue is?
Well, they're licensed now.
We'll take it. Why not? either way, we're glad everybody had a fun time. Katie, did you have anything before we sign off?
I really enjoyed writing some of those tweets, to be completely honest. Katie
was ridiculous. Our main tweet writer. Megan
That's
wrote
not
a couple.
True. Megan did about as many as I did.
Yeah.
Yours
a lot of
were
yours.
Way better.
Yeah. Katie wrote a lot of tweets. You wrote a lot of tweets. I wrote a couple. And I want to sprinkle those in every now and again on our regular Twitter account.
Can we keep it as Veil for a little while?
Yeah.
I'll see if I can't come up with some more.
Pretty please.
We'll keep it as a little while longer, and we'll keep it a little bit after we put it up on our YouTube page. We'll do that. But to everybody who supported us, retweeted, thank you. If you could do us a favor and keep retweeting, and let people in on this fun fan project, whether it's people who work on the show or friends of yours who are fans of the Ruby franchise, if they want to see it in a new light or a new void, however you want to put it, please.
The void may scream back.
Send them our way. I'm going to try by tonight to have it uploaded and ready on our YouTube channel by tomorrow morning. That's what I'm going to try to do. I thank you, everybody, both at the table, behind the scenes. Thank you, Steve, for dealing with all of our technical BS.
Thank you, Steve.
And thank you, everybody watching. Thank you, everybody at home. Thanks to the fine folks at Rooster Teeth, who have no idea that we just did that.
And the fine folks at Night Vale, because same.
Yes, yep, and absolutely. Same, specifically Cecil Baldwin, because you're amazing. Yeah. And it renewed my love for Night Vale and creating and all that stuff. But that'll do it for this episode of Rooster Teeth Reviews. We will see you next week for the Nomad of Nowhere after show. But before we go, Katie, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
My buddies, you can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. And this is currently the only thing I'm doing right now. So yes, it'll be fun.
Stacey.
You guys can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles or also on Twitch at InventoryFullPT, where I stream a weekly podcast with Mark Monday nights at 6 and also games throughout the week. I can play some Assassin's Creed.
Woo! Explore
what
some more.
What happened to Doki Doki?
I'm getting back to it. I'm nervous.
Megan.
I'll stream with you.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Buy my book.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonic. You can find the team at APTV Rooster Team. Follow that. If you want more Welcome to Vale, that is the channel to follow, because that will be the first place that any updates go, and then we'll retweet it. And then also check out our new store. We just tweeted that link out as well. Please support the show. That's not going to be the only thing that lives there. I'm going to do a new design every week for a couple of weeks until we're pretty full on stuff. But thank you also to the fine folks at AfterBuzz TV for supporting us in this weird, crazy venture that we did. But until next time, we'll see you for Nomad.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Good night, Vale. Good night.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.